FBI says it's stepping up investigations into several unsolved cases of what it calls potential public corruption. And those include the discovery of cocaine at the White House, pipe bombs placed near the DNC and RNC headquarters here in Washington just before January 6th, the insurrection, and the leak of the U.S. Supreme Court's decision overturning Roe v. Wade.
All right, so that's Wolf Blitzer on CNN, and that's a setup to an interview with James Comey. And we're going to be talking today about what's going on at the FBI. There's a lot of things coming out. I think some ground is being gained, and we're going to revisit the whole issue of James Comey and his little adventure on the beach with the pebbles. There's just a lot of interesting stuff that's broken in the last few days, and Bruce is going to join me today, so we're going to talk about this stuff. But before we do, in 2022 in Washington, D.C., there was a really grisly discovery. There were five preemie babies found in the home of the director of a pro-abortion group. They could have lived. They were fully formed, and yet they were aborted. And so now many pro-life organizations are trying to get the Justice Department to prosecute a doctor and the people that helped do that. You know, abortion continues to make the news, and it's because it is such a horrific thing to think about a baby killed either by partial birth abortion or removed and then killed. And that's what's happening. It's still happening. The Biden administration did not prosecute that case. And so it's coming up again. You're going to be hearing about that. Well, that's why preborn really is the best solution to all of these abortion-related issues, because they try to get to the women in a most redemptive way by showing them little photos of their little babies inside their womb. It's a very creative, redemptive, beautiful way of stopping abortion, because when the moms see that, they choose to save their babies. Most of them do. And so that's why I bring preborn to your attention every time I'm at this mic, because they deserve your support. And of course, they also, the other wonderful thing about preborn is that they tend to the spiritual condition of the mom and even the partner, the father, if he's around. And so they do great work, and that's why they deserve our support. If you haven't donated to preborn before, it's just $28 for one ultrasound. That's to provide one ultrasound. And of course, any multiple of that, any amount, is really welcome. But I wanted to give you an idea of what the minimum would be. That would be $28, would help save the life of one baby. And so if you'd like to do that, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can listen to us on any podcast platform. Our home base is afr.net. That's AmericanFamilyRadio.net. But all other podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple, whatever you like, Amazon, whatever you listen through, we are there. You can find us on social media, all the platforms. You can follow me on X and my Twitter handle. Isn't that lovely? I remember when they used to start saying that. I thought it was so funny. I could hardly bring myself to saying it. And now I'm saying it. It's at Sandy Rios Tweet. That's at Sandy Rios Tweet. All right. Well, sit back. Maybe pencil and paper today, because we're going to be talking to you about the latest out of the FBI and these investigations and all of these things that we've wondered about for years, what the truth is about them, on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
I think what I was a critic of was the leadership, people who sat in this seat before me and people who were the deputies and the very senior portions of the Bureau who manipulated and weaponized the Bureau. I was a fierce critic of it because I led the Russiagate investigation, and I proved that my predecessors went to a federal court and lied to them just to weaponize the FBI and the DOJ. That is 100% true. I think one of the things that surprised me the most, and pleasantly so, was that the amount of men and women at the FBI that hated that they did that to the Bureau. And that when I got in the seat, when Dan Bongino got in the seat, they said, we want to fix this place. We want to work with you. We've been trying to do it for years. We've been trying to increase training. We weren't able to. We've been trying to take the technological advancements around the world and import them into the FBI. That hasn't been done. And so we've just seen a void in terms of long-range planning at the FBI that all the men and women at the FBI wanted to do, and their leadership wouldn't let them.
All right, that's the voice of Kash Patel. He is being interviewed by Brett Baer on Fox News. It was really interesting, and Bruce and I watched with rapt attention. And Bruce is with me this morning because, of course, he's well qualified to talk all things FBI. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning.
Yeah, so that was actually part of some good news that Kash delivered to Brett. And we should start with some good news, Bruce. We should try to start with some good news. So one of the things that Kash said is that recruitment is unbelievable.
Yes, the numbers are going through the roof in many areas, actually, for the FBI, for the Secret Service, and for the military. Ever since Donald Trump assumed office a few months ago, in many cases, it's doubling in the numbers.
Yeah, isn't that something? That's great, because they, oh boy, I just hope they're careful about who they vet and who they put in there.
Well, that is an issue. I mean, when you want to maintain the standards. In fact, I was listening to Bongino, the deputy director of the FBI, talk yesterday that they are going back to raising the standards for the physical test and for the firearms, because what had happened is under Obama and Biden, some of the standards had been slackened in those areas. In addition to other things regarding like criminal convictions, things like that, that people were allowed to come on board to the
and
FBI.
Drug use
was the big one. They really loosened the reins. I mean, really loosened the reins. And, you know, we all make mistakes as young people, but at some point, if you're going to be responsible, you come out of that. And when the FBI is only asking you about your conduct for the last year when you're almost 30 years old, there can be a lot of problems lurking in the background.
Well, this is not FBI, but two things in the news lately that just gives an illustration of how that personnel is policy. And that would be the attempted assassination of President Trump we saw in the Secret Service. The chicks, the overweight chicks, the small girls who are absolutely incapable for one reason or another of protecting the President of the United States. So that's just one thing. And then the Secret Service story just a few days ago, Bruce, about those two women that were guarding Barack Obama and his family at their personal home, and they get into a fist fight in the middle of the night. They're rolling around having just a complete all-and-out brawl, and there's actually police recording of them yelling. My point is that is Secret Service, I know. But you could say that this problem has been similar in the FBI,
well,
could
been,
you not?
Yes, it's been across the board in the federal government. Since some of these administrations were in, the Biden administration and the Obama administration, hiring people that are unfit for those types of positions. They're positions of trust. You're issued weapons. You have to know the law. And basically, you referenced Director Cheadle, who was at the Secret Service head when the assassination attempt happened against Donald Trump in Butler, and she was all about nothing more than DEI, promotion of women. And look, I have nothing against promoting qualified women to do these positions, but she was promoting people strictly based on their gender. And that's when things go sideways.
Probably ideology. You know, back now, this would be FBI specific. I will never forget when Black Lives Matter was rioting in the streets of Washington, D.C., near the White House, when they set aside two city blocks and painted a huge Black Lives Matter like that was their territory, like Occupy. And and then you have these FBI agents on at the bureau, because the bureau is right down there, on their knees doing the bow. All of them were women, weren't there? It was like maybe
primarily
six or
women,
seven.
And it was sickening.
Sickening.
They had smiles on their face, like, "Hey, we're in solidarity with you, rioters."
Yeah.
Unbelievable! You're there to enforce the law, not to have a kumbaya with people. And that whole mindset, which really was starting to permeate the country. I remember the police chief up in Minneapolis apologizing for the police conduct. And this was after Black Lives Matter had burned down a police station in Minneapolis. And that was also under Tim Walz. When Walz was the governor up there, he was big on, let's just let these people have their way for a while, and they deserve to get out of control because they've been wronged.
Okay. Now, in the interview with Brett Baer, Cash addresses what they have found, going back to what we talk about a lot, and that's the attempt to destroy President Trump, even back when he was a candidate. I would say even leading to his attempted assassinations, and then J6 was a tool of that too, to try to attack him and his supporters, American citizens, should I just say. So this is what Cash had to say about that and what they're finding. This is clip 3.
Quickly on Crossfire Hurricane, that is a continuing production. We have found material, and I'm the Crossfire Hurricane guy, that I didn't even know existed in FBI holdings.
So there's been held someplace else? Or
that's been stashed away in locations that people thought we wouldn't find it because we wouldn't know to look for it there. And as promised with my congressional partners, I'm working with Congress on constitutional oversight, because that's what the American people deserve. And those documentations have been flowing to Congress nonstop on a rolling basis since that interview. But more importantly, people have had questions about January 6th and whether or not there were FBI sources, not agents, sources on the ground during January 6th. And I told you I would get you the definitive answer to that. And we have. And we are in the process, again, of working with our partners to divulge that information. And it is coming. And I will tell you this. The answer to that question will surprise and shock people because of what past FBI leaders have said about it.
Yeah, so... And we're going to talk about past FBI leaders in a second here, Bruce, but you just came across a story about them finding some stuff at the FBI. What can you say about that?
Yeah, well, Deputy Director Bongino was on Fox and Friends the other day, and he made reference to basically finding a room where documents, I don't know if you'd use the word hidden, but they were basically, shall we say, conveniently misfiled so that they would not be found in the normal course of a search. You know, any document that you make as a federal employee is to be indexed into files. And there are keywords so that they can be searched later and found. And apparently, from what Bongino is hinting at, is that there were all kinds of documents relating to Crossfire Hurricane, which, again, was the attempt to prevent Donald Trump from assuming power on his first term, were misfiled or were hidden, for lack of a better word, so that they would not be filed. And, you know, I think this really explains one of the things that bothered me so much when Donald Trump was finishing his first term and he had the power to declassify all these things that had happened with Crossfire Hurricane, and he didn't do it. Well, now we maybe know why he didn't do it, because they didn't have all the documents, and it might not have even made sense if he tried to declassify some of it. People would be like, well, so
well,
what?
What was
this
that? There's nothing to it.
This doesn't show
right,
anything.
Right, right, right. That's a good
idea. And then he'd look like an idiot.
Yeah,
but
really.
Now I'm going to look forward to possibly resolving this issue if all these documents come forward.
You know, so we've had two FBI directors preside during Crossfire Hurricane, the attempted destruction of, I don't know if Mueller was in there when this first started. I guess he was. There would be three then.
Well, Mueller
was. Three FBI directors involved in this.
Mueller was just finishing at the time that this would have started.
Okay, all right. Nevertheless, he is a part of it, as we both know in other ways. He was the one who is the special counsel for all of this. But Christopher Wray was the most recent one before Cash. And so recall, if you will, Bruce, that Chris Wray went before Congress. I wish we had that clip where the congressman from Louisiana says,
"Your time is coming,
Mr. Wray, Director Wray, your times are coming. Your times are coming." Yeah. I wish I had that. Well, all right, so Cash makes a comment about Wray that I thought was interesting with Brett Baer. Let's listen to clip four.
Former FBI Director Chris Wray eventually admitted to Congress there were 26 FBI confidential human sources in around the Capitol January 6th, but not actual agents. Can you say that's true? Are there more than that? What you're learning from that?
I can say that that is definitely a piece of the truth. Why it took a ton of time for and questioning in Congress for the director to get that point is what I'm trying to eliminate from the FBI. If Congress asks you a question under oath, whether or not there were sources in around January 6th at the Capitol, you as the director of the FBI need to know that and not deflect and give a DC answer. You have to be prepared for that. And that's the answer we're giving. That's the answer Chris Wray should have given.
Yes, and then he goes on, another comment on that. Bruce, before I ask you to comment, he has more to add, and this is clip five.
No one's more frustrated than me. Remember, I was chief of staff of the Department of Defense on January 6th. We said that we were ready, and the president had previously authorized the National Guard to be there days in advance. I spent 2 years, a small fortune, grand juries, to testify to the truth. And what happens now, years later? We were right. Bowser and Pelosi rejected that offer. And instead of figuring out how to prevent security lapses like that ever again, the American public spent tens of millions of dollars and countless hours on TV listening to conspiracy theories because those in positions of leadership failed to tell the American public the truth.
All right. So that he's talking about Chris Wray. That's the follow-up to that.
Yeah. Well, I think we need to divide those clips and talk about them separately. Let's go to the first one, talking about Christopher Wray and his quote-unquote testimony before Congress. Christopher Wray, to me, is one of the slickest liars that we've ever watched. If you recall, listen, Chris Wray is a smart man. He's been a high-powered attorney. He's been the director of the FBI. He's held many positions. He prosecuted the Enron case. He has been around. And as I've told you previously, when you testify as an FBI employee, you are not there to, shall we say, split words when you are asked a question. When you know what's being asked of you, you're there to give a full-throated answer. And we refer to telling the truth in the FBI as candor. In other words, it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, basically. And if you would recall, every time Christopher Wray would answer a question, he would either say, "I'm not aware at this point of what the truth is, or what that
is." I've not heard of that. You know, I don't know about
I've heard of it, which. Really? You're the director. You have heard of it. You've heard of Crossfire Hurricane. You've heard of the attempt to take out Donald Trump. In fact, he was actively involved in it. His other pet answer was always, that's an ongoing investigation, and I cannot answer that question. Yeah. Which, you know, look, not everything in an investigation has to be held to the vest. And certainly, however many people were there on January 6th, was no longer a matter for to be kept secret at the time he was being asked. That was several years after January 6th. He could have easily answered that question. And don't tell me he didn't know the number. And if he didn't, and here's the thing. He knew the number, which would have been his job. Or if he didn't, then he was incompetent at his job and he should have been removed.
Well, we interviewed Joseph Hanneman just a couple of days ago. And Joseph said, well, he alluded. He thinks there are hundreds of agents there. Now, we'll see. We'll see if that pans out. He didn't say for sure. It's what he suspects. All right, so there's another director that is kind of in the crosshairs for us. We've spent a whole show talking about him recently, and that's James Comey. And he was on with Wolf Blitzer on CNN. And he was asked these questions about these three, the FBI is now opening these three investigations, the pipe bomb, the cocaine at the White House, the leak of the Dobbs decision, the pro-life decision, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, the leak from the Supreme Court, and they are doubling down on public corruption. So Bruce, you know a lot about that, so I'm going to ask you about that in just a second. But this is Comey's response when Wolf Blitzer asked him what he thought about opening those investigations. This is clip 11.
It's a little confusing to me, honestly. I'm sure it's a huge adjustment to go from being a podcaster to being the deputy director of the FBI, but I don't understand this tweet. First of all, I assume that the investigation of the pipe bomb that was found on January 6th was never closed. The FBI never closes such a thing, so I guess it means they're going to focus on it more. And as to the other things, I thought the Supreme Court Marshall had investigated the leak of the opinion, the draft opinion. I don't know what the FBI's role is there. Cocaine at the White House, I thought the Secret Service investigated that, so I don't follow it and understand it. I also don't understand who the audience is for this tweet. The FBI often calls for public assistance or in matters of great public concern will announce an investigation to reassure the public. This seems much more narrowly targeted, maybe to a former podcast audience.
Did you catch that, Bruce?
Yeah.
He's talking about Dan Bongino. He's a former podcaster.
Yeah. Comey is using a classic deflection here. He knows that the FBI is starting to get over the target. And the only thing he can do is attack the messenger being Dan Bongino in this case. Let's talk about those things, the Dobbs decision being leaked by the Supreme Court. And that allegedly the marshal of the Supreme Court had investigated this. Did you ever hear anything as a result of the investigation by the marshal? I never heard a thing. It basically went into thin air that nothing was ever determined. In regards to the cocaine found at the White House, we were told that Kimberly Cheadle, again, she raises her head. She was the director at the time. Sources have told people that she ordered that all the evidence be destroyed in that case. The cocaine itself and the packet that it was found in and the reports. My understanding is the cocaine itself may have been destroyed, but that the packet that it was found in, which potentially has DNA and fingerprint evidence, was not destroyed. And that is still in evidence,
okay,
and
okay.
that can be analyzed.
Okay.
We were told there was not enough to analyze it. Well, look who was in charge when that determination was made. So if it really is that innocuous, why is everybody concerned if the FBI goes back and looks at it again? It's not that hard to look at again. And in regard to the pipe bombs, facial recognition, all these things that were used, geofencing to figure out every, Tom, Dick, and Harry that was at January 6th, seems not to have been used in this investigation. There is a video
right.
of a person wearing a hoodie placing that, if it was a bomb or whatever the device was, it was placed at the DNC. There is a video of that. How closely has that been analyzed? We don't know, because that was under the Joe Biden administration, and I don't think they were in any hurry to try to identify that person.
And under Christopher Wray. That's right.
And you have to remember what Bongino said about what the FBI is doing is they're looking at it as a public corruption case. In other words, they're not looking at it as was there cocaine in that bag?
Who had a crime.
They're looking at it as, did someone in the government use their official position to cover this up?
Even going into the Supreme Court in this investigation.
Yeah. And did someone in the Supreme Court use their official position as a government employee to commit a fraud? Because you cannot leak these decisions. It's the integrity of the court. You're sworn to keep that, to keep up that integrity. And whoever released this did not. So, Comey's attempt to, this is such vintage Comey. He's like a little baby. Oh, it's a podcast audience. Oh, it's targeted at, a podcast audience. You know what? It's targeted at the entire United States population who wants to know, have these things really been properly investigated? And in the end, maybe we won't get anywhere further than where we're at. But I wouldn't bet on that.
Yeah. But it's snarky, childish.
Yeah.
Like Dan Bongino was a Secret Service agent and a policeman in New York City for years before that. Yeah. And I want to point out, James Comey has never been on the street. He's not an agent. Probably, I don't even know if he knows how to handle a gun. He's an attorney who has made his bones, as we talked in that other podcast, and we can't go all into that right now, but he is a talker.
Comey is a suit.
Yeah,
has been a suit his whole career. He's never done anything more than try to grandstand off people. Show me anything he's done in his life that's really distinguished himself other than trying to go after people that he knew would make his career skyrocket if it worked out. And when it didn't work out, he's throwing other people under the bus.
Yeah, so now I want to show you. This is what he says. He goes on in that interview with Wolf Blitzer. And this is clip 12, and now he turns to Cash. So, Cash Patel, let's listen to clip 12.
I cringe at that clip. I actually feel kind of sorry for the guy. It's like showing up for a final exam with no pencils and no paper, and you didn't even know there was a final exam. And so I hope the career people are able to support the director and the deputy director. There are lots of people in the FBI who know what they're doing. I hope these two guys are letting them guide them.
You think they know what they're doing?
The career people know what they're doing.
No. The career people know what they're doing, but the new director and the deputy director.
Nothing in their life or their career gives me confidence that they know anything about leading an organization like that. And so I would have serious doubts. I bet they do internally about whether they have doubts. Great. Let the people who know what they're doing give you advice and listen to them.
Oh, okay. So Cash Patel, who was the chief of staff for the National Defense, and he was the one who uncovered all the crossfire hurricane information. He was the chief of staff for Devin Nunes, or chief investigator. He has a lot of other accolades besides that. And Dan Bongino knows all the things we just said. But he dismisses that. And I think you're right, Bruce. I think he's sweating a little bit. And I'm really glad.
Well, I think he should. The FBI has really been thrown into turmoil by Christopher Wray and by Comey. It shocks me. And Mueller, too. Mueller was a big impeding force within the FBI, taking us away. He was the start of taking us away from our mission.
Yeah.
Once 9/11 hit, we no longer became the FBI, and we became an intelligence organization. And then when Donald Trump ran for president, we became basically a hit team to stop Donald Trump. And then when January 6th came, we became a vigilante group trying to round up the January 6ers. I know that's a broad brush, but really, when you get down to the core mission, that was a big part of it.
All right, so then Comey has more to say. Actually, Cash weighs in his interview about Comey on the beach. Now, we talked a great deal about this last week when Comey found these pebbles that said 8647, which, as Bruce explained on that podcast, 86 came out of World War One. It had to do with F-86.
Korean War.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. F-86 bombers. I'm glad you clarified that. F-86 bombers who were, when they would take out Russian MiGs, they'd say, we 86 them. That's where it came from. It was about killing. And Comey should know that. So that's the groundwork for this part of the discussion. So we talked about that. We spent a whole hour actually talking about Comey and that incident just recently. But Cash had a few words to say about it. This is clip 8.
What did you make of your predecessor's walk on the beach with the shells 8647?
You know, the FBI is bigger than any leader it's ever had or ever will have. And James Comey's a private citizen, and he can walk around the beach and talk about seashells and Crayola crayons for all I care about, and talk about how we're the conspiracy theorists. But I just remind the American people of one thing. When that man was a leader of the FBI, he perpetrated the largest criminal conspiracy, packaged political information from overseas, took it to a federal FISA court, and illegally surveilled a political opponent. So I won't be lectured on how to run this FBI from that man.
I thought that was great, Bruce.
Amen.
Yeah.
That is exactly the way it should be said.
Yep.
Comey was up to his neck in what went on in trying to tank Donald Trump. And the proof is there. We know the Steele dossier was false. We know it was paid for by Hillary Clinton as a political as a political document. And Comey and his FBI knew that when they went and got these FISA warrants. And they this whole thing was ginned up as basically a circular intelligence. You plant a story with the media,
right.
The media runs with it, and then the government says, wow, look at all this reporting that's coming out, and we have to follow up on that. And meanwhile, the media is getting their lead from leaked government information. It's all like a one big mill
it's
to
orchestrated.
Turn out.
Yeah, it's orchestrated. And Comey was there from the very beginning, exactly on inauguration day for President Trump. He was meeting with Barack Obama and others in the Oval Office. But yeah. Let's go on because...
Well, real quick, you know, Comey declared publicly that Donald Trump was morally unfit to lead this country. And then Trump comes in office. Comey's the director. Comey could have easily stepped down and said, you know what, this man is unfit morally. I'm not going to work for him. But instead, he stayed behind. And the reason he stayed behind is because he was the point man on leading the what I would call the government insurrection to try to oust Donald Trump as president.
All right, so back to the beach situation. Here's another clip in this conversation with Cash. This is clip 9.
Obviously, you start with the fact that the guy has literally nothing in his entire adult life that prepares him for this role. And so that's deeply concerning to start with. In a way, I kind of a little bit sorry for the guy. He's barked at the FBI nonsense for years. And now he not only caught the car, he's got to drive the car. And so that is a daunting task for him. I hope he lets the career people do their jobs. But they've already forced out a bunch of good career people and sent a chill through the organization.
That's James Comey.
If he wants to come after me, no problem. I've been living rent-free in that guy's head for years, and that's just a bonus.
All right, so that's the Comey-Cash Patel clash.
Well, and you see who Comey lines up with. He keeps saying the career people, the career people. Mm-hmm. Well, you know who brought us the attempt to take down Donald Trump? Many of them were the career people.
Yes.
The Rod Rosensteins, people like that. Peter Strzok. McCabe, Page, those are career people. Look, just because you stay somewhere for a quote-unquote career doesn't mean you're a good person and do your job well. It just means you've been there a long time.
Well, it also means that they were prepared to carry out the action against to destroy President Trump, and Cash wouldn't understand that part. He would actually be loyal to the government, so it's oil and water, and thank God they've gotten rid of so many people. Now, this is very important, Bruce, because in this conversation of Cash with Brett, he goes on to say what the results were. You and I talked about this a lot, and I want to commend that show with Bruce and I talking about James Comey and him finding those shells shaped like 8647. In other words, kill 47, that's the number for President Trump. So this is what happened. As a result of that foolishness by James Comey, he put it on foolishness. I need to correct myself because words matter. I think he knew exactly what he was doing. It was dangerous, and he was happy to do it. I think he was trying to inspire, encourage people to do something to President Trump. That's what I think that was about. And it worked. This is clip 10.
Do you know how many copycats we've had to investigate as a result of that beachside venture from the former director?
Is that right?
Do you know how many agents I've had to take offline from chasing down child sex predators, fentanyl traffickers, terrorists, because everywhere across this country, people are popping up on social media and think that a threat to the life of the president of the United States is a joke and they can do it because he did it? That's what I'm having to deal with every single day. And that's what I'm having to pull my agents and analysts off because he thought it was funny to go out there and make a political statement.
The 8647, the president said that he believed it was an assassination message.
Yes, well, so do a lot of us. So what are your thoughts about that, Bruce? We need to wrap it up here in a minute.
Well, I think if you want to look at the qualifications and non-qualifications of FBI directors, that sums it up very well. James Comey only cares about James Comey and his little clique. He's like a rich little kid who has always been in with the in crowd and has walked away from things when things get tough. Cash is a street fighter. Cash, when he says, look, we had to pull people off of investigations because, you know what, that was just Jim Comey wanting to get attention. And think about that. That, and if Comey is this smart, like he says, I'm so smart when I was a director, then he would have known that someone of his profile, if they make that those kind of representations, 86-47, that's going to draw attention. And that kind of attention needs to be looked into. You don't take potential threats against the sitting president of the United States lightly. Something must be done to address it. And if Comey's that smart, he knows that as a director of the FBI, Patel has to respond to these things and has to detail people to look into it, as does the Secret Service. So for Comey to act like he's the smart one and Cash doesn't know how to run the FBI, well, I'll leave you that as an example. Yeah. Well, you decide.
We'll see about that, won't we? We'll see about that. All right, Bruce, we need to take a break. We have one more thing to discuss. We'll be right back after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Did you know that since Roe versus Wade was passed, and that was back in 1973, over 66 million babies have been aborted in the United States? That's nearly one in five pregnancies terminated. With the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom now has become the scene of the crime. And that's where she tragically expels her child. We have to stop this, and you know how to do that. Preborn is a master at saving these babies and their moms. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Posting a photo online of seashells spelling out 8647, which has become a popular social media code for removing Trump from the presidency. You said you willingly met with the U.S. Secret Service about all of this, so you took the post down and said you did not realize at the time it could be associated potentially with violence, and you assumed it was a political message. What did you think the message was?
I thought it was a message of political opposition to Donald Trump, done in a very clever way in seashells on a gigantic beach. And I had never heard, actually still haven't credibly heard, the numbers 86 associated with murder. But if people were going to say that, which never occurred to me, I don't want that on my Instagram post. And so I took it down.
What do you say to those who are claiming you're seeking the spotlight with posts like that and speaking out against the President Trump?
Yeah, I don't get that. My Instagram posts are a series of family, politics, and books. And so I want my followers, which is not the world, to follow it and to be amused by it, educated by it, enjoy it. That's my goal with Instagram.
Oh, boy. I don't get that. They think that I was, criticizing President Trump to do harm. I don't get that. That's just my little post for my Instagram followers.
Well, and if you needed further evidence to realize that James Comey was completely unqualified to lead the FBI, all you need to do is look at his own words where he says, I did not realize that that number 86 could be associated with violence. Half the kids on the street know what 86 means. And for James Comey, who's prosecuted gangs, who's prosecuted the mafia, to say that he didn't know what 86 meant. If that doesn't prove he's a liar, I don't know what does.
Yeah. All right. And with that, we're going to end. Thank you, honey. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you.
You know, it's unfortunate that we have to deal with this James Comey situation, but he just keeps on giving. And he's like the guy screaming in the corner. You know, his time has come and gone, and now he's writing books, and now he's trying to sell books and remain relevant. And it's sad, really.
I can't let it go with that. I think it's much more serious. That's a sidebar, but I think he's serious as death, and I think he needs to be dealt with.
I don't mean to minimize that. He is calling for the removal of Donald Trump through whatever means.
Yes, exactly.
So I didn't mean to give that impression, but he is like a spoiled little child who wants his way, and his way is for Donald Trump to be removed as president.
Yeah, in whatever way. All right, honey, thank you. And before we say goodbye today, I hope you learned from this. I always do when Bruce and I talk about these things, and I love Bruce's insights. And we couldn't do this if it weren't for our sponsors. Timothy Plan is one of them. They let you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.